Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the noon hour. This is a pleasant development. Nearly a decade after the red light and speed cameras went away in Kansas City because we were getting those tickets overturned so much and determined some legal problems with those, they're coming back. Kansas City officials late last week approved and authorized the use of automated traffic enforcement cameras with plans to have them installed by early next year. If you recall, the Missouri Supreme Court was the one that said police could not legally issue those tickets unless they could clearly identify the driver's face.
So that they have changed that now so that instead of, because they were only able to ticket the owner of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. So they
and what
say
if somebody else is driving.
Now they can get clearer images of the driver and ticket the driver themselves. So that was the argument. It was like, it's not my fault if my wife borrows my car
or my kid
and they get a ticket, then I have to pay for the ticket, or a friend borrows my car to run some errands and I'm being a nice person and then I get the ticket. That was the argument. I don't know that the camera, I want to see these images. I want to see how much clearer they are. And also they can tell that that's exactly you. Really? Can they? Cause it could be your brother still. It could be your dad. You don't know.
So Mayor Quint Lucas was on with Wink and Amy this morning, as he is on Monday mornings, and he talked about this. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, you know, I hear lots of controversy about it. I was going to post something on social media about this, but at its core, here's, we have got too many people speeding through the streets of Kansas City. We have too many people dying on our roads. Our real interest is actually in speed cameras, making sure that in a lot of those areas where you have consistent accidents, where you have a lot of deaths, that we're doing things to intervene. And maybe this is me being a parent of two young children. Maybe this is just me, I don't know, being slower as I age and walk across the street. But I want to avoid preventable deaths in Kansas City. We talk about homicides all the time. We don't talk about suicides as much, but another area that we don't discuss are traffic fatalities. We have too many in Kansas City. We have had too many for some time. So our investments in traffic calming and pedestrian safety, our investments in making sure that people who are speeding recklessly through the city. I did a 10-mile walk down Truce the other day. Had people that felt like flying by at about 80 miles an hour. People need to slow down in Kansas City.
Okay, so my question is, will this get people to slow down? Will the threat, knowing that cameras are up, will that be enough to accomplish what the goal is? Here's how this is going to work, by the way, and then I want to talk about the cost of this to find out if this is worth how much this is going to cost the city. So over the coming months, the city officials are going to talk to the public about where the cameras should be placed and where they shouldn't. Get your opinions on that. And then after the final decisions are made, a 45-day waiting period will follow before the cameras are installed and activated. $2 million is what the system is going to cost to launch it. And I don't know what the price is to maintain. There's going to be some storage, some cloud storage and stuff like that. And the city hopes that over time, they're going to collect enough in fines from tickets to cover those costs.
Yeah. I don't like it. I've never liked it.
Yeah.
I don't think it, that the juice is worth the squeeze on this for a couple of reasons. One, demonstrably in areas that they've done this before, and Kansas City was one of them years ago, they actually found that they can make accidents worse.
Yeah.
Because what happens is people are speeding. They see this red light camera. They slam on the brakes. The car behind them slams into them. It happens a lot. The second thing is, and this was proven in Chicago where they were doing this. I don't know that it was proven in Kansas City, but I know it was proven in Chicago. They were tweaking the yellow lights where they were making the yellow lights shorter so that people thought they had more time to get through the intersection. And then, boop, you're in the intersection or you're right before it. And now magically that light, that yellow light, they used to be able to time exactly. Used to be 5 seconds, 6 seconds. Now it's only two or three. And boom, you get a red light. You get a red light ticket. And that, you know, allows them to collect more revenue on it.
Okay. So do you predict this is going to go back to the Missouri Supreme Court? Because I feel like it is. I feel like we have a couple of attorneys in town that are pretty good with the speed and red light cameras. And feel like we're going to get stuck on the definition of like clearly identify the driver's face. And you're going to, at some point there's going to be a mismatch, right? At some point, this is not going to be 100%. And I feel like that's going to take it. That's going to drive it to court. You also could argue the amount of time this is going to take police to go through and match the face with the driver's license.
Yeah.
And what if it's like a 90 define clearly match? What if it, what if you have a twin brother? What if you have, you know, what if you have somebody that looks like you? Mm-hmm. What if it's not a perfect match and they issue the ticket anyway? And you can't prove that it wasn't
all you. All
you
have is plausible deniability. That wasn't me. My phone says I wasn't in there. Like you said, in 2015, literally 10 years ago, the Missouri Supreme Court nuked this. I don't know. It could reach the Supreme Court. Any lawsuit would start in a circuit court, then go to the Western District Court of Appeals. I think that is just playing with fire again. And is it a good idea to do whatever you need to do to limit traffic fatalities? Of course it's a good idea. At the same time, is this going to limit traffic fatalities? There's no evidence of that.
Privacy concerns is my next question. Keep in mind, that camera sees more than just the driver's face. What else is that camera going to catch? And I'm always on the side of like, just because it's legal doesn't mean I'm okay with people knowing about it. Just because you're not doing anything illegal doesn't mean I want someone to see the inside of my car all the time.
Also, couldn't it just lead to people tinting their windows more? Like,
possibly,
you know, it just have a tinted window. They can't even see in.
And we need to get clearer then on at what point you have legally gone through the intersection. You know, what we were always told, if it's yellow when you enter the intersection,
yeah,
then that's legal. But we're going to have a lot of gray area on that one.
So there was an interesting study on this that found that the red light cameras actually cut down on T-bone crashes, meaning one car hitting the other one in the intersection, but then drastically raised rear end crashes. So that's basically the trade-off. You're going to have, I guess, less people T-boning each other in intersections, but then more people rear-ending each other because they see the red light camera and they slow down. If they have these, should they have signs posted everywhere before you get there? Is because I always wonder about that. Like, is it important to catch people, or is it important to ticket them, or is it important? I'm sorry, I should let me rephrase it. Is it important to prevent them from speeding in the first place, or is it important to catch them doing it so you can punish them? 913-586-7798. Already getting a bunch of calls and texts on this. 913-586-7798. Again, Kansas City's bringing back red light cameras. I feel like we had this debate so much 10 years ago.
So I just reached out to Howard Lotvin, as I do two things at one time, who is the traffic attorney that we've had on before, who was very busy the last time around when these were legal. He's going to give us a call in a couple of minutes, and we'll get him on the air with us.
Yeah,
we'll have him great. So that just how much better is the technology, and what will it take for this to be challenged again in court? What's, you know, is there a percentage of misses or something? What's it going to take? the question I have also is, again, when you have this camera that is looking at your, that's taking a picture of your face, what if it catches something else illegal? What if you're not wearing your seatbelt? Mm-hmm. What if, you know, it catches other illegal activity? Do police have probable cause to ticket you or investigate you for anything else that they found illegal in your car based on that picture?
All right. We have Howard Lotvin on the line. Excellent. Let's take a break. And then that way, when we come back, we can give him enough time to explain this again. Kansas City's bringing back red light cameras. We thought this debate ended 10 years ago, but they decided, just like a horror movie villain, to bring them back from the dead. We'll talk to an attorney about this in just a few minutes here on Midday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we tried this once before. It's been 10 years since we had these speed and red light cameras in Kansas City. If you remember, it was the Missouri Supreme Court that said, yeah, you can't do that. Now they say the technology has gotten better, and so we can more clearly identify faces, and so they're coming back early next year. Howard Lotvin, we have talked to before on the show. He's a local attorney who was quite busy before those red light cameras and speed cameras were taken down, and he's back on the line with us to give us some insight. Hey, Howard, thanks for the call.
Hey, Howard.
No problem.
Okay, so when you heard the news, what did you think?
I was a little surprised because the last time, a few months ago, my understanding was that the KC Board of Police Commissioners was not going to sign off on it. So I'm not sure what occurred there in that regard. So I was a little surprised when I heard they were going forward with it. Maybe they're going forward without the board's approval. I was surprised.
Howard, they say that the cameras are going to be better now as far as identifying the driver so that they won't be charging the owner, but charging a specific driver. How are they going to know who the driver is? That's my biggest question.
Well, I suspect what they will do is that once they get the ownership back on the car, that they will then run the driver's licenses of the various owners and seek to see if the picture on the driver's license meets the picture on the car.
So there's no way a human being's doing that, right? That's going to be AI.
It might be AI. It might be a human being. I don't know.
I mean, if it's a human being, that's going to be a lot of money to pay somebody to sit there and go through everybody's driver's license, I guess, and pick out who it is. Yeah. But if it's AI, it's also problematic because we've seen how often that will get confused and that gets things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the other thing that they're going to have problems with is if it's a child driving the car, you know, someone who's 16, 17, 18,
right,
or even 25, 26, 27 is driving the parent's car. How are they going to identify that person or friend? The other problem they're going to have is if it's a commercial vehicle, how are you going to identify the driver? Now, I will tell you the city of Hannibal sends this nasty little letter to the owner of the vehicle saying, we have one of these, tell us who it is, whether it be the corporation or sometimes individuals, or we're going to file a ticket against you for failing to cooperate. And they can't enforce that. So, and I've informed them of the case law saying they can't do that. But if Kansas City does that, I suspect there's going to be a class action suit for all the people that they sent those threatening letters to.
Howard, I want to bring in facial recognition software for a second, because we don't know exactly. They're just telling us that the technology has gotten better. But if we're talking about facial recognition software, my understanding is that that software is less accurate when it comes to minorities, which would be a concern, particularly in a city that has a lot of them.
Yeah.
Well, yes, it's less accurate to minorities. It's also less accurate when dealing with age. So if you have Bob Jones Jr. and Bob Jones Sr., and let's say they're only 20 years apart, they may not be able to distinguish between the two parties if they look similar. The other difficulty that they have with the AI is that it still does not overcome the problems of nighttime, shaded front windows, visors, camera angle. Even the best AI is not going to overcome that.
Yeah. I mean, what if you just drove around with a mask on? Like, I'm not saying anybody should do that, but like, if you did, like, I don't know. I think we got Richard Nixon blowing through red lights in downtown Kansas City.
I think that would be a problem. There was actually, and I don't remember the full story, there was a person in California who drove around with a gorilla mask on.
Yeah.
For that reason.
I mean, it's an easy way to get out of it.
Happened, but
it wasn't me. It was Coco.
Yeah. So
what are your predictions on this, Howard? What do you think is going to happen in terms of legal? I mean, given that you would be the one that would perhaps be involved in some of those legal problems, what are you looking for here?
Primarily, we're going to be looking for, on this two-camera system, the accuracy and how the city handles the situation where they can't accurately identify the driver because the driver's not the owner of the vehicle, especially in the situation where we're dealing with company vehicles, 18-wheelers, city trucks, you know, for, let's say, Anthony Plumbing and Heating or somebody like that, you know. We want to see how they handle that and whether or not they stay within the guidelines of the law in handling that.
So when this goes to court, if somebody gets ticketed for this and they're trying to fight it, what is like the chain of what does the city have to do to prove that the driver was the person driving? They say they have clearer images. Have you seen the images? Are they actually clearer?
Well, they've got a fundamental problem, and I don't know how they're going to solve this, but whoever the company is that is managing the system, they are going to have the person who is managing that system to come in to lay the foundation to even get the video in and the pictures and so on.
What's the general turnaround time?
Sorry,
I thought you were.
Oh,
go ahead.
And plus, you know, if they have a person pulling the driving records and matching it up, they're going to have that person in there to do the foundation on the pictures.
The next question I was going to ask was, what's the turnaround time? If somebody runs a red light on May 1st or, you know, is speeding through an intersection on May 1st, what's the turnaround time for a ticket generally?
Generally about 5 to 7 days.
Wow.
What if you sell the car by then?
Hannibal. Yeah.
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 But if you sell the car, what if?
Then,
yeah. It seems like there's so many issues with this, Howard, and I don't understand why the city, after 10 years ago, I remember talking about this on air 10 years ago about what a mess it was and how opposed to it people were, from the privacy concerns to the enforcement concerns. Why did the city go back to it? Because you might not have an answer to this, because when we started talking about it, you seem mystified by that.
Well, I can speculate.
Yeah.
On a couple things here. One, I'm pretty sure that most of the city council, if not all the city council and our mayor, wasn't around when that was going on 10 plus years ago. And the fights in court and the fights out of court dealing with this. Secondly, you know, what happened when they first instituted the single camera years ago was the city was sold a bill of goods by the company who was managing the cameras. That was not true. I don't know the conversations this time, what company it is and what they've told the city, but I'm worried that, again, the city has bought a bill of goods that may not be accurate. And I'm pretty sure one of the other things, because I never got a phone call, is the city never maybe talked to the other side, like myself, to say, hey, what are you going to do about this or that, or how are you going to handle this? Because these are problems. So, and this is what happened last time when they put the single cameras in. They never consulted with anybody in the defense bar or the judges or even the prosecutors. They just did it to the surprise of everybody.
Mm.
Do they have any obligation to tell people where the cameras are?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it would make sense to do that, though, right? I mean,
sure,
if the goal
is... For the same
is,
reason they announced checkpoint locations.
Yeah, that's what... Right. We see this all the time, but it's like, if the whole point is to save lives, then wouldn't you want people to know that laws are strictly being enforced here and you need to slow down? Otherwise, it just seems like revenue generation. It's just an attempt to make more money. As far as the safety of this is concerned... you've been quoted in the past as saying that, you know, studies conflict and, you know, could it be more of a safety program? Is there a checklist that you would have to make this more of a safety program and not a cash register?
I don't have a checklist, but I think that the research shows both sides, but the long-term research shows that it's less effective as it goes on. And there is research showing that there's an increase in accidents at those intersections because people slam
on the brakes
to try to avoid going through a red light.
Yeah.
Now, I do know that the city, as part of its ordinance, will be posting signs warning of the cameras, but there's no state statute that requires that. It's just something smart to do. But the city does not have to publicly publish, let's say, online where those cameras are, although they may do that as part of the, quote, safety program. And I will tell you that there are other independent websites that do publish that type of information.
All right. Attorney Howard Lutvin, thank you so much for joining us as we are dipping our toes into very familiar territory, talking about red light cameras in Kansas City. Thought we were done with it, but they came right back. I really appreciate you joining us on Midday.
Thanks, Howard.
No problem. Take care, guys.
You too.
Appreciate it. On short notice. Do we feel better?
No.
Feel not better?
No,
I don't feel better.
I
feel worse.
I hated this when they had them before. I don't see how they're necessary, and I hate any time you start on a long range trajectory. Any time you start dipping your toes into automation when it comes to police enforcement, I start to have problems with that, because it just leads to the wrong people being ticketed, the wrong people being arrested. How many times have we done stories about, well, AI said that guy was guilty, so they went to his house, and it turned out to be a family of four, and they accidentally threw flash grenades in there and burned the house down. I mean,
we did two stories like that last week.
Yep.
Are there not more basic ways to cut down on traffic problems than using technology, like speed bumps?
Yep.
In more neighborhoods, which from my understanding are very difficult to get in your neighborhood. If you try to go to the city, they're difficult to get, or rumble strips, or, you know, put more four-way stops up.
I know.
I mean, just do more with that.
We've argued about this, but roundabouts.
Roundabouts. I know.
Slow things down.
They
That's
do.
The point, you know.
That's yeah.
I mean, this is an interesting take on this too, but it's a problem that we have because we have actually decent infrastructure, and by that I mean straight roads and grids. Guess where this wasn't a problem? Where I used to live, because there were no straight roads. It was all curves
Can't
and angles.
Go as fast.
You couldn't go as fast. There weren't nearly as many roads as there are here. So it is, I guess, in one way, it's almost a good problem to have because we do have so many roads. At the same time, if we're actually interested in saving lives, this isn't the way to do it.
I know you won't like my answer to your question, Jamie, but a one way to slow people down is road diets. Decrease the amount of lanes and making the roads more narrow.
That's New England.
I mean, it's
roundabouts. Do roundabouts instead.
Yeah, let's try roundabouts first, and then we can go on road diets.
I'm just telling you, the more it sounds counterintuitive, but the more uncomfortable the more uncomfortable you make drivers, the slower they'll go.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we then force the scooters to go in those bike lanes then? Because that solves two problems for us.
I like the trade-off we're having.
More bike lanes, but the scooters have to go in them.
I can't believe that scooter, like the scooter thing, it blows my mind that you even, if you're on a scooter, that you choose to be on the sidewalk. Like it's confusing to me. Why would you choose that? Use the street, especially if you're in the suburbs and like there's not a lot of traffic on your road to begin with, or the speed limit's 25 and you can kind of keep up with traffic on your scooter.
All right. Coming up, we're going to keep up with the transportation theme. Casey Starr has an editorial that's, I think, guaranteed to piss you off. Why it's great that driving in downtown Kansas City is a nightmare. And also, Kansas, number two in the nation for roads. Why is that? And where's Missouri at? We'll talk about it. Coming up on Midday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you can thank the Kansas City Star editorial board for this one that was in the Star yesterday. The headline on this was, driving in downtown Kansas City is a nightmare right now, and that's great. Here's the point they make in a very lengthy editorial that we can break down a little bit, is that if you have lived around here for a while, we didn't used to have as much going on downtown. There, we didn't have power and light. We didn't have a lot of things that are going on that we have right now. And so people weren't interested. They didn't go down there, and the streets weren't being used. The fact that driving through downtown Kansas City is a nightmare right now means a couple of things. New businesses, we've got construction. It also means we have a lot of road construction. It means we have a streetcar that's about to open much farther south than it used to be. And the reason we have the money for that streetcar is because the properties that live around that streetcar that painted the TIF district are worth so much that we can pay for it. It's a good thing because it means we have a lot to do and we're a thriving, exciting city now when
better.
We didn't used to be.
I get it. I get what they're saying. This is Stockholm syndrome, is what this is. This is, I can't change my circumstances, so I'll just embrace them. And then go so far over to the side of the, that you're like, what's her face, that the Stockholm syndrome is named after, the Patty Hearst, and going into the bank with the gun, with the Simi in front. But no, it's a sign of progress that we have a bunch of stuff. But if it had been planned properly and worked out accordingly, then we wouldn't have the gridlock we have. That's the point.
Here's the other, we are covering your ears here for a second. Oh, this is going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
Because we don't know where the Royals are going to play in the future. And if that ends up going downtown, this gets worse before it gets better. There's also a renewed push, as they point out, to build a 5.5-acre park that would turn I-670 into a tunnel from Grand to Wyandotte. They continue to look at old properties to try to fix them or tear them down or replace them. The area where CPKC Stadium is along Berkeley Park is getting new mixed-use businesses and residential construction. Streetcar's going to run that direction. I know we're tired of talking about the World Cup, but the World Cup next year is going to spur. We keep hearing about new restaurants and that kind of thing. This is going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
913-586-7798. Let me throw this out there. Okay. I hesitate to ask this question because I'm like, yay, progress. I'm all about, you know, like I don't mind that. Keep in mind, I live pretty close to Warnell, which I think has been under construction for 35 years and will be under construction long past when I die. So I accept that, you know, if you want things, you got a little bit. But I will ask all of you, do you go downtown? Mm. And I'm gonna use downtown. When I say downtown, I cast a much wider net than whatever the actual definition of downtown is. I mean between Plaza and River Market. Do you know where the action is in Kansas City between
the streetcar line? Do you go downtown?
Yes.
And I will say, you know, and I hate to constantly reference this, but it is my reference point. I have to say it is nice compared to the Northeast. It's annoying. Traffic is bad here, and it's worse than it used to be. But at the same time, you have no idea how bad it can get.
It can get.
The last day that we were in Boston, Katie and I was like, let's go to the North End. That's a nice area, and we can we'll spend the day there. And it took us 2.5 hours to go basically 10 miles. It was a nightmare. So I don't want Kansas City to turn into something like that. That's the problem. And here's the thing. When it comes to traffic jams and constant delays and detours, it's not just the drive. It's what this chaos says about how we plan things. Sidewalks that disappear, lights that stay red forever, like they're punishing us. Crosswalks where you need a prayer just to get out there that, like, hopefully they'll stop. Like, it's just the bad planning of the new stuff that's so annoying.
It also would help, and this is a difference I feel like between us, one of the many differences between us and the Northeast, is that we are not as public transit friendly in terms of providing it and people who want to use it. And so you have a lot more cars. And so you have a lot more cars on those streets and areas that are under construction. So if we'd have more people using those bike lanes for those road diets, then that would help also. But they pitch this as a really good thing. Look at how exciting and in demand it is and how many people we're drawing to town. And the reason I ask the question I ask is because in 2022, they mentioned this poll that they did. They polled adults in the 5-county Kansas City region about the city center. One of the things they asked was how many times you had been in the area that from Missouri River to Crown Center in the past year. More than half said it had been a couple of times or fewer, and they said nothing interests them there. That has totally changed. So again, they're saying it's a good thing. Are you using those things? Yeah. Are you going to... I have friends that go to, they have season tickets to things like the symphony or Broadway shows at Kauffman Center or the Music Hall or T-Mobile Center, or, you know, if you're going to Starlight. I mean, do you go do those things that you feel like this is worth it?
Yeah.
Because then I just question who all this is benefiting.
913-586-7798. From the text line, downtown is for concerts and jury duty, nothing else.
What a... okay.
I mean, I
knew
go,
what I asked.
I go, but I Uber. My car doesn't...
That's fair.
...doesn't deserve to go through that.
That's fair. That's okay.
I tried First Fridays once. It took longer to park than to actually look at any art. And it's somebody else basically having my back on the saying, like, you people have no idea how bad it can get. That it's the...
Yeah.
But the point is, though, all of that starts somewhere. And we're at that starting point. Mm-hmm. Where, yeah, it could be worse, but I don't want it to get worse.
I want the stuff that it being worse gives me, right?
Sure.
That's the thing, is that we want the streetcar.
We want the streetcar. We want a more vibrant downtown experience. Absolutely. But you can have that while also not creating constant chaos downtown with the driving experience.
So when we talk about planning it out, is this a sign that maybe all this has gone too fast?
Yes.
That we've tried to do too much 100%. Of this at one time?
It has been absolute whiplash for me leaving Kansas City in 2019 and coming back in 2024 and living here now. And I don't just mean Kansas City itself. Also, where I live in South Overland Park, so much has sprung up overnight. Like, we went to the Arboretum on Saturday for this really cool thing they had there called Terra Luna. And I remember when going to the Arboretum in like 2013 or 2014, mm-hmm. and there just being nothing like around it. Like, just driving there on 69 and just trees and woods and stuff like that until you get to it. I was like, where did all this stuff come from? And it's right by my house now, but geez, there's a hospital, there's hotels now. It's crazy.
So all that stuff brings in money. That's why cities want to move as fast as they can. You don't want to say no to anyone. You don't want them to go somewhere else.
Right.
God forbid they go to the other side of the state line. It's a good point, and it's a good question of how do we do this better so that people aren't so frustrated that they don't want to go? Because that's the fear, is that they're going to get so frustrated with construction in an area that they're going to avoid that area altogether.
You need better public transportation.
Mm. Will people use it, though?
I mean,
I feel like that's our problem here, they won't.
Not everywhere has great. I mean, some cities do emphasize it better than others, but like in Boston, public transportation was a joke. The subway was one of the most dangerous things you could ride. There was, I don't know if you guys covered this, but there was one day where the subway was, or it technically wasn't subway at this point, but the train was going over the Charles River and caught fire, and people had to jump off of the damn train into the Charles River.
I would have remembered that. No,
it was pretty bad. It would solve a lot of problems, though, if we had a decent rail system like Chicago has, or like
we're not
even,
big enough, though.
Even Dallas, St. Louis has one. We're not that much smaller than St. Louis.
I would need to look at it first to see.
They have the Metrolink.
The problem is that we are just so spread out. That's part of the problem. There was a lack of density within the metropolitan area.
And that does cause problems, you're right.
And the thing is, too, is that there's no way to get from one suburb to another suburb without driving, too.
Mm.
So it's not just getting downtown is a problem if you don't have a car. It's getting anywhere in any part of the city without a car. So even if you're not going downtown, you still have to drive through downtown in order to get somewhere.
All right, 913-586-7798. Let's solve traffic in Kansas City. More roads.
10 minutes.
That's a solution.
More roads and more parking lots.
It's coming up.
We're trying to fix transit.
Yeah.
We're going to get
it. We're going to get there.
Yeah, you know, it's good that you're so annoyed that you're driving everywhere, that it's taken so long, because it means progress.
You know, embrace the suck. Says
yes, exactly.
Casey Starr, and I say no. So the the solution to so many problems that we have with transportation is more transportation. It just is. It's not the same transportation. It's different versions of it. So if we have more public transportation, if we have a streetcar expanded, a streetcar line, that would help. If we had a decent rail system, that would help. It's probably never going to happen. Better buses. I mean, that doesn't seem like it's likely to happen, considering they were not funding the buses we had. So I don't know what the solution is, but I would love to hear from you guys. People are texting them in to 913-586-7798. People are saying, guys, we have enough road. We have enough roads in Kansas
City. What's the issue?
The problem is we have too many people and not enough roads. Guys,
are you kidding me?
We have more roads than any other city in America. We have more highway miles per capita than any other city besides Indianapolis. That is not the problem. The problem is not roads. Let's see, from the text line, we keep trying to act like Kansas City is Los Angeles and everyone has to drive somewhere. How about we fix the bus system so it runs on time and goes where people actually need? I'd ride it if I didn't have to wait 45 minutes in the cold.
Have you heard of this idea or this phenomenon of induced demand?
What's that?
It is where if cities increase roadway capacity, like building new roads or expanding lanes on a highway, it often will increase vehicle traffic and will nullify whatever sort of capacity that you added, and so it will actually clog up the highway more.
So this is your solution again. This is mad scientist Quentin cooking in there, and what he's cooking with is the idea that to solve our transportation problems, we need to actually have less roads.
Look, I'm just saying that this is induced demand is a real thing, and that when you see, you're like, oh, good, they're adding a new lane to the highway. That'll reduce traffic. It actually doesn't. It makes the highway worse.
How about flying cars? How about that?
We have those. Like, they're called helicopters.
That's not the same thing. I'm saying something the average man can afford. I want to be able to fly. How about a hover car? Back to the future, too.
Your car already drives itself. So,
yeah, I know.
You know.
This is futuristic and goofy, but that is actually the solution eventually, is self-driving cars. Because if the cars were able to communicate with each other, and certainly I'm not one to trust AI that much, but I trust AI as much as I trust the next driver. If the cars were able to communicate with each other, they'd be able to flow a lot better. Don't have to worry about cutting each other off and everything like that.
That is such an American thing to say.
Yeah, just make the cars better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm
Let's
an American, Quentin. A proud one. Thank you very much. All right.
We didn't fix it.
By the way, Kansas has the second best roads in the country. Oh, yeah. I think Missouri is like 39th or something like that. It's always bad.
Because there's not much traffic.
There. Coming up, would you be able to pass the new U.S. citizenship test? I have not looked at this, Jamie, so if you want to quiz me on it, we'll see. That's coming up on Midday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.